Father, thank you for the word this morning. Holy Spirit, you're the one who teaches us, so teach us. Our hearts are wide open to you. We really want to be more like you. We can't be like you without you. So we just thank you for living in us and now teaching us via your word and your still small voice. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So we're purposing to walk in the authority of Christ through getting to know his word. So we started going through the Gospel of John in January. If you're new with us, we're in John chapter 5 right now. We'll pick up verse 25 through 30. Will covered verse 24 last week. Wasn't that powerful? It's so amazing. I so enjoyed watching and listening to Brother Will Shepherd just share his perspective and then also his testimony and what the Lord has done in his heart. We are asking you to sit in John with us. We're going through John together, and so we're in John 5. And we ask that your scripture reading be an act of listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay, you're not just reading it like the newspaper. When you're in the scriptures, let it be an act of listening to the Holy Spirit, connecting with the author, connect with Christ, and then do what he says. Amen. Don't shout me down on that, but that's what we're believing for. I have a friend up in Kansas City. He's not Kansas City anymore, but the Lord had given him a word to plant 10 churches in 10 years. That was his assignment. And he was actually working for a Christian ministry to do just that. He was 2 years in. He had planted 2 churches and in 2 years. And he just felt like something was off, something's amiss. And so he did a survey among both the churches that he had planted, among the believers there, the congregants there. And it came back that only less than 1 out of 10 of all the congregants in those 2 churches opened their Bible any day of the week besides Sunday. Less than 1 out of 10. Now, that's the regulars. He was cut to the quick, as you can imagine. He thought, what in the world am I building? Am I building something that makes people just dependent on a Sunday message? That's the only time they're trying to hear from the Lord? And so he quit. And, you know, obeyed what the Lord had asked him to do in the way of investing Christ in people through discipling. So anyway, I say that to say our heart for you is not to train you to hear messages. Sermons are great, but they're not the end-all, be-all that Christ died for. Christ died so he could live inside of you and so you could hear his voice on a personal level. Amen. Sermons are great, but they're not the full substance. They're not everything. You need to be hearing the voice of the Lord on a daily basis yourself. Amen. So let's get back to John. I did mention Will Shepherd. If you get a chance to talk to him, I think he's at prison ministry this morning. Prison ministry, everybody. God took him out of the desert and then healed him up and sent him back to go rescue others. But we have this little joke that I always say, he is, you are God's will. And he'll be like, I am God's will. And he is. He is God's will in manifestation, because when he was in prison, the dead shall hear the voice of the Lord and they shall live. And he is God's will. That is God's will for every human being. So let's get back to John, verse 25 and 26. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, here it is, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That's what happened to Will. Heard the voice of the Lord in prison and was made alive. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son to have life in himself. So all are dead before God. You've heard the living dead or night of the living dead, the walking dead. That's humanity who are not born again, who do not have the Christ life on the inside of them. Jesus alludes here to his power to give spiritual quickening. His word, his voice has the ability to life a dead human spirit. Now, that's incredibly powerful. It's actually the greatest miracle in all of Scripture. I'm all for physical healing and defeating cancer, but everybody who's healed in the physical will still shuck the earth suit. But when you come to know Him and your spirit is made alive and in union with Him, man, that's eternal. And so he has the power to give spiritual quickening. And the work does belong to the future. We'll see that in verse 28. But the dead right here in these two verses belongs to the here and now. Verse 28, we'll see dead that are in graves that hear His voice. That's in the future. But right now He's alluding to those who are dead in their sin. And the quickening comes through His voice. That's why we emphasize it. We want you to hear the voice of the Lord. We want you to be able to sit in Scripture. Chuck sits in Scripture and can hear the Holy Spirit speak to him. My words are spirit and life. John 6:63. You pore over the Scriptures. John 5:37 through 40. But you won't come to me. He told the Jews, the Pharisees, in verse 37, who had memorized the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, that the word didn't abide in them because they couldn't recognize Him. That's pretty stout. Now, that is a stark contrast. He's saying there's a difference between just Scripture and hearing His voice and knowing Him in a personal way. Yeah. I love verse 25 and 26 in the Amplified. Look at this as Amplified classic. Believe me when I assure you and I solemnly tell you the time is coming and is here now when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, those who hear shall live. For even as the Father has life in Himself, look at this is powerful, and is self-existent, so He has given to the Son to have life in Himself and be self-existent. Wow. Now if you're taking notes, write this down because it should blow your mind and your spirit. The word self-existent means this. Exists and functions independent of other beings, sources, or influences. When you have self-existent life, you are not reliant on other beings, human beings, people, sources, or influences to sustain you. So the Father and the Christ possess self-existent life. The Father is complete in Himself, and the Father has given to the Son to be complete in Himself. Jesus does not have to be reliant on other people liking Him to go to the cross and do what the Father is asking Him to do. Could you imagine if He stopped and took therapy because people are hurting His feelings? They're just not talking right about me, Father. They're not accepting me. Why didn't He cave? Why was He always on? Why could He always give and provide life? Because He has life in Himself. It came from the Father. Now He's the pattern Son, so He's deriving it. Jesus is deriving this self-existent life from His Father, who is Himself life. The life that entered Will in prison and made Him alive. Romans 6 talks endlessly about. Love Romans 6, 1 through 18. But the Father has given not only to His Son Jesus Christ the ability to possess this life, His life, He's given it to His other sons as well. Amen, somebody. That means you. That means you're no longer dependent on other beings, sources, or influences to have life or to be happy or to have joy or to feel loved or be accepted. You are liberated from all other vines, all other sources. You have self-existent, God's self-existent life and expression in you. You have need of nothing. I would like for people to like me. I just don't need for them to like me. Amen? I'd like for you to love me, but I don't need for you to love me. Why? I've got a different vine. I've got a different source. This is such a powerful truth right here. The Father has life in himself. He's self-existent. He doesn't need. He can function. He can exist without the help of anybody else. So he's given to the Son to have life in himself. But how many of you know that Son died to multiply the life? John 12:24, if I go into the ground, or if I don't go into the ground and die as a seed, I'll be the only one. But if I do die, it'll bring much grain. And the Father sowed a son who was deriving his self-existent life so he could reap a harvest of sons, you and me, offspring of God who can derive this life and no longer be subject to the chaos and the failure of things, people, whatever it may be, all around us. Can I get a witness this morning? Jesus is the pattern son. He empties himself of his deity privileges, all the omnis. He emptied himself of that so he could be a model for you that you can derive life in this earth suit from the Father. You can derive life and source from the Spirit. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that people now don't have to act a certain way for you to be happy? Your team doesn't have to win for you to be happy. You exist and you function without the help of any other outside influence or source. There's a lot of miserable people here today. I mean, not here. I mean, in Oklahoma. There's a lot of miserable people in Oklahoma who've not yet understood. Some of them probably born-again Christians who've not yet understood that there's life within them in Christ, and they don't need other things to go a certain way to feel whole, to be full. Man, powerful. Matthew 5:9, as sons of the living God who have this life, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. So I looked that word peacemaker up. It means bravely declares God's terms to make someone whole. So sons of God are full of peace, and they declare that peace and wholeness to other people. And you can go around preaching peace to everybody, but what I want you to do, instead of preaching the message of peace, I want you to be the message of peace. I want you to live it. Be the word embodied. Jesus didn't just preach the message God loved humanity. He was the message. He was the Father's love walking around in an earth suit. That's who you and I are. We are the word made flesh, living, vibrant flesh. So I want to pause right here and take a little detour. Do you remember a couple of Sundays ago, it might have been 3 Sundays ago, when I said, I want to talk to you from my heart and I want to share why I share. Anybody remember that? I want to share with you why I share. Why do I do this? No smoke, no mirrors, no used car salesman. I want to be totally honest with you. The reason that I share and that we get together every weekend is I want you to know Christ in a very intimate, personal way. That's what we care about. And number 2 thing I mentioned was that you could find peace and wholeness in a world that seems very void of it. Peace and wholeness and fullness. You can find him in the midst of a chaotic world. It's elusive in our culture. Let's look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the word peace here in the Greek is irene. It means to be joined. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have been joined with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are joined with the living God, what do you lack? What do you have need of? Nothing. And yet, we struggle with the lie of lack. Like, I got to have my... My mother-in-law, she's got to treat me better. I'm just undone. Stacy, she better just only speak words of life to me or I'll fall apart. My children better get straight A's or I'm just... Don Wheeler asked us the other night at our M28 group. He said, if our wives lie on us and slander us and our children disown us and we lose our jobs and the internet disappears forever, he said, are we still safe? Are we secure in Christ if all that happens? And they thought about it. The guys thought about it and they said, yes, we are. He said, then why do we fall apart when some of that stuff happens? Here's the reason. We are often way too connected to the natural realm and the natural things around us than we are living and abiding in the reality that we are whole and joined to the living God. And because I'm lived and living in and joined with the living God, then those things, yes, they can affect us because we have emotions, we're human beings, but we do not fall apart. We are anchored. Our house is built on a rock. Amen. And we're not moved. Not only does the word Irene in the Greek mean to be joined, it means God's gift of wholeness. He has gifted you wholeness. Another word is fullness. You are full. You don't lack for anything. You don't need everything to go right. You didn't wake up for you today, so everybody treats you right. You woke up to put God's fullness on display, that you're a human being that's full and content and joyful regardless. But you will not live and manifest that measure of peace if you never spend invested, intentional time with Him. If you'll hang out with Him, His peace will rest on you. Take time, take an hour, whatever you need, take an hour. Sit in His peace. Let his rest, let His love, you know, peace is so much love's, what's the word, calm, rest. If you'll rest in His peace will rest on you throughout the day. But if you never interact with it, that's what I'm saying. So you get a word, remember John 8:32, His truth will make you. If He's got truths in here regarding His peace, man, train in them. Sit with them, and not just intellectual Bible stuff. Sit with the Prince of Peace. He will meet you there. He'll be there. You seek Him with your whole heart. He'll be there. He can't lie. He promised. Luke 11:10 also says, Jesus said, whoever seeks finds. He'll meet you there. If you'll start using prayer as a place and not something you say, but a place you go to meet with the Creator of the universe. Take the time to do it. He's worth it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says you've been reconciled with God, but are you living as one with Him? You've been reconciled, so your choice is, are you living reconciled? Are you living as one? Are you living full and complete? So spend time with the sacred Christ and let His perspective change yours. Use prayer to align with Him. Don't use prayer to get Him aligned with whatever you're doing. Use prayer to align with Him and His perspective, and then make His perspective your only reality. Amen. Because His perspective will help you to deal with the trials and the threats of lack around you. You face threats of lack all the time. You do. Threats of lack, whether it's financial money, you know, you get this bill, or you got a speeding ticket, you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this? Or, you know, my child's in band and it costs, you know, $1,000, whatever, for his instrument and his trip and all this stuff. You face threats of lack all the time. Your spouse doesn't give you the love that you feel like you deserve. That's a threat of lack. But you don't lack. It's an illusion. And the fear and the worry and all that that comes from it, it's all control. We start getting into control and manipulating the natural so we can feel better because we think peace comes from the outside in. It's a lie. All that's an illusion. Peace is a person. He lives inside of you. You've been gifted wholeness. Go ahead and give Him praise. Amen. Go ahead. You've been gifted wholeness and fullness. And all those threats of lack are a lie. They're an illusion. Control itself is an illusion. You really think you're in control? Look at this one. Look at this one. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Oh, wait. Nope. Sorry, guys. I got to do John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives." The world doesn't have, they got fake peace. We got real peace. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." All right, let's go to the next one. Love this one. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace, the peace of his kingdom, at all times and in all ways, under all circumstances and conditions, whatever comes, the Lord be with you all." Wow. Wow. I'm saying all this because, again, it's tied to John 5:26. The Father has life in himself, and he made it possible for Jesus, his son, to have life in himself, but he came to multiply himself so that the life could be in these sons. And yet we live mostly with our umbilical cord plugged to the natural realm. What's my money situation? What's the stock market? What's my football team? What's my presidential candidate? We're going to pray at Prayer Shield November 2nd, that Saturday morning. We're going to really dedicate it to the election and to praying for our country. But it's so much more than that. Christ is the hope for our country. I'm not doing it to tell anybody how to vote or to put their trust in political parties. If I'm being honest, I wish we could start over. I do. I wish we could just start over. Let's get a whole bunch of maybe new parties or something, because something ain't right. But that's my two cents. So Irene, God's gift of wholeness is both of these. He's the Lord of peace, fullness, wholeness, and grant you his peace. So both instances, it's the Greek word Irene, and that's the benefit of having divine life. Now, let me show you an Old Testament one so I can be, impartial. Look at Isaiah 26:3. This is awesome. "You will keep him," talking about the Lord. "Lord, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." He trusts in the one who has the self-existent life. So the word in the Hebrew for peace is shalom. It means completeness, contentment. Oh, I love this one. Secure. Don't you want to just live every day secure no matter what's going on around you? Doesn't mean you're indifferent. It'll actually give you a heart for people that are suffering. You'll be in a place you can actually help. It also means the word whole, W-H-O-L-E. And the Hebrews, their saying is this about shalom. Ready? Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Nothing lacking. Nothing needed. That is shalom. That's peace and harmony with God. We are more sourced by the self-existent life of Christ than we are by people around us. That's where we're headed. I spoke that in faith. Amen? We are more sourced by Christ and his life. And what happened to us? Well, when we heard the voice of the Lord, we received. Will talked about that. When you hear, that word means you understood, you comprehended. So you received his life, but it's don't stop receiving. Where's Journey when I need him? Don't stop. Receive, hey. Don't hold on to your feelings. Do not. But don't stop receiving. So you receive, you heard his voice, you receive divine life, don't stop receiving. Keep on receiving. So when Don asked us that question, well then why do we fall apart when our wife's mad at us? Or why do we fall apart when our kids are acting bad? It's because we're receiving too much, deriving too much, as branches, from natural things. And the natural will let you down. John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the natural world, you will have trial and tribulation, distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the natural world for you." And in the Amplified, he said, "I have deprived it stripped it of its power to harm you anymore. Now that's the gospel. The gospel is, I don't have to be defeated every time something goes wrong in the natural outside of here. Ron and I were talking, we pray together on Sunday mornings in my office. We're talking about just how important it is to understand this is the gospel. Jesus didn't just die so we could, you know, and rise again so that we could meet God when we're dead. You don't need wholeness, peace, and shalom when you're in heaven. You need it here. And this idea that he didn't come to affect the way you live? Jesus didn't come to affect life on the planet? Are you kidding me? What a tremendous deception. He very much came to change life on this planet. Through a kingdom, through a governance. But not with tanks and guns or external force, internal influence. Put the life of God, the very life of God himself inside of them, and he will cause them to walk in his ways. Amen, somebody. But we got to remain there. We got to abide there. We got to live the connection. So we don't have to be influenced by everybody else. So I encourage you to spend time every morning imaging life. Make prayer a place that you go to. And remember Jeremiah 29:13, that if you'll seek the Lord and seek him with your whole heart, you'll find him. So one of the things I do every morning, I get up first thing. I look forward to going to bed now. I love going to bed. Because I know in the morning, I'm going to sit in my sacred place with Christ. I sit there with him and I image in my mind. I image him. He's there. He's there with me. And so prayer is this sacred place that I go. Ron knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Ron Garman? We talk about it. And go to that place of sacred, secluded, seeking prayer. And what I do, I image in my mind, I'm there, and it's like I'm in this room, and I've got 100 candles. That's the only light. There's 100 candles. And I'm just sitting there. It's me and the Lord. And sometimes, you know, I'm just worshiping. And what I do is I image that there's no television. There's no internet, and there's no cell phones. None of that exists anymore. It's all gone. So there's nothing pressing on me. All the distractions kind of fall away, and just me and him. And that has really helped me. I wash myself in the Word. You know, I do that, and I make declarations. I'm righteous, I'm loved, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I participate with truth. I do all those things. But you know who the substance of all that is? The guy sitting across the table from me in this room. When I close my eyes, he's there. You say, Steve, that sounds crazy. Was it some kind of new age business? How about no? John 14:21. Amplified. You can tell I like the Amplified Classic. John 14:21. Are you ready? Jesus said, whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him too. And I will come and I'll show myself to him. And the Amplified says, I'll allow myself to be clearly seen by him and reveal, manifest myself to him. And he shows himself to me. That's why I speak with conviction, because I know him. If you asked me, can you get up there and share for an hour on Bill, give me a last name, Bill Smith. Bill Clinton. I can't share much on Bill Clinton because I've never met him. That's my point about Bill Smith. I've never met Bill Smith. How am I going to talk for an hour on Bill Smith? I'm telling you, I've met Jesus Christ and he reveals himself to me. He is spirit. And he shows himself to me. I'm not perfect, but I do love him. And then another one, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are transformed into his very same image and likeness by the Holy Spirit. So when I sit in that room with my eyes closed and I just meditate on him and his goodness and I seek him with my heart, he unveils my face. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, whoever turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So every morning for about an hour, I turn to the Lord and I look for him and I sit with him. And you know what's crazy is a lot of times, Sylvia, he doesn't say anything, but he says a lot. It's kind of like he is the Word. Yeah, we've heard that somewhere. John 1, I think. Does that make sense? He doesn't have to say, he loves me. He exudes it. He doesn't have to say, Steve, the new creation you is not insecure. If somebody insults you today, you don't have to defend yourself. He's the embodiment of all my insecurities go away. That's why I'm saying I do declare the word and I wash myself in the word, and rightfully so, but he is the substance. And so when I was up in South Dakota, it reminded me of a story. Charlie Dial is the pastor up there, and he and I were working together. We're the same age. We worked at Life Christian together back in 1994. I first got into ministry. So 94, 95, he would help me with outreaches. You know, I'd take him to prison, City Rescue Mission. I mean, you would talk about stories. And we have to tell these stories, Brian, every time we go to South Dakota, because somebody else wants to hear about, you know, whatever crazy people we encountered. But when I'm dragging Charlie to places. So he, in return, would take me to youth camp. And we'd go to Christ for the Nations down in Dallas, Youth for the Nations, and all these various camps, Acquire the Fire. And, you know, we'd go together. Well, one instance that I was reminded of, and I'm talking about imaging prayer. I'm talking about prayer as a place. I'm talking about when you know the Prince of Peace, wholeness starts becoming part of your personality. You're full, you're complete, you're not looking out here for something to happen. So we're out in the parking lot because after service at camp, there's a lot of hype at camp, and I'm not against that, but, you know, what we would do is we would take our students to the parking lot right there by our rooms. There's this big vacant space, and Charlie would bring his acoustic guitar, and we'd sit with the Lord. And we would just have a very quiet, intimate time with the Lord and just see if the students had any questions, you know, and kind of engage them. And there was a young lady named Amber Carson. Her name now is Amber McNeely. She was about 14 years old at this time. And I remember she had asked for prayer. Something was really weighing on her. Something in her past, something that she had done. I don't really remember all of it, but I do remember praying for her. And what I asked was, I was starting to get the revelation of John 14:21, that whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I'll love them too, and I'll show myself to them. So when I was praying with Amber, I said, when we pray, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to look with your heart, and I'm going to ask Jesus to show himself to you. So as we were praying, I don't know, 10 seconds in, she goes from this slumped over heaviness and all that, she stands up straight. Like 100 pounds came off her back. She starts like glowing. And I finish up the prayer in Jesus' name, amen. You know. And I had to ask her, because she's got tears of joy. She's got lightheartedness at the same time. But she is crying, so I'm asking, what did you see? What happened? And she said, I saw him. And he came to me, and he told me how much he loved me. And it changed her. So it's not New Age when you understand that the scriptures teach that the realm of the spirit can be accessed by those born of the spirit. And I encourage you to do that. Spending time with the one who is whole. Let him unveil your face. Let him show himself to you. Because when we do behold his glory, we see him, we become like him, and that's his goal. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, but I hope it's okay. I'd like for you to like it. I don't need for you to. I'm accountable to someone other than you, believe it or not. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. This is my morning session right here. I'm just seeking him. I just want to be with him. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So there you go. We gotta engage. We're going to live in wholeness and fullness. We've got to engage with Him. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Remember the old soap opera, One Life to Live? You have one life to live, and it's that one. If you're born again, your new life is with Christ. It's the secret place. It's the hidden life of God. Man, right, ladies? What's that passage in Peter that says, don't adorn yourself, ladies, with all the stuff, or like that's something. But rather adorn yourself with the hidden person of the heart. That is our life in Christ. He is the best thing any of us have ever found. And He deserves us prioritizing Him. It's easy to get into the flow of, well, it's my life and Jesus is adding to it and making it better. I understand it. I've been there. But according to this, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we appear with Him in His glory. So again, we become like Him, but rather than He's adding to me and my regular life, He is my life. He's the life that we now live. Right? And that's Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me, as me, through me. So we have one life to live, and as you spend time in His wholeness, in His fullness, you'll be able to be that message to other people. You can preach it all day long. I'm not against it, but it's more powerful if you live it. Set your mind on things above. All right, let's get to 27 real quick. Everybody good? So what do we care about around here? We're not used car salesmen. We're being completely honest with you. We want you to know Christ intimately. We want you to know God. That's eternal life, John 17:3. And we want you to find peace and wholeness in a culture that is void of it. All right, John 5:27, and has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Okay, very important here. This has to do with authority. The physical human body has been given authority in this realm. If you want to have authority in this realm, you need a earth suit to do it. It's interesting. Even when Jesus cast out the demons in Mark 5, the Gadarene demoniac, they asked if they could possess the pigs' bodies. It's like there's this law at work. If you want authority within this realm, then you got to have one of these on. Even when God Himself came in the flesh, He put one of these on. That's why Jesus has to be identified as not just Son of God. He is the Son of Man. That allows Him to die in your place as well and create a brand new creation race in Christ. And so we got the authority to take dominion in the earth from the book of Genesis. So we're not waiting around for God to give us authority. We have authority in Christ. And now He's within us. We've got the earth suit so we can be here. We got a voice here in this realm. Okay, so it's not just Jesus who has dominion. We have authority and we have dominion here. And so authority is just potential, though, until something is said, something is spoken, or something is acted upon. It's just potential. And the body of Christ is full of potential. We're all housing Christ. I'd say you got a lot of potential. But see, we know ourselves by the flesh. We think, I ain't got much. Well, you plus Christ is a lot. Yeah, you independent of Christ, I agree, you ain't much. What if General Patton never gave instructions in World War II? Did he have authority over the troops? He did, but what if he never spoke anything? What if he never said, here's what we're going to do? Then no action would have been taken. You don't want to have authority and then never utilize it. And in Matthew 8:26, Matthew 17:18, and Mark 1:23-25, Jesus rebukes three instances. Number one, He rebukes the wind in Matthew 8. Then He rebukes unclean spirit in Matthew 17. And then He rebukes a demon, I might have those backwards, in Mark 1. But his authority to act is just potential until he opens his mouth and does something about it. And all I'm saying to you is I'm encouraging you to use what you've been given. That's what I'm asking you to do. Use what you've been given. Speak and release the authority that we have in Christ. And I'm not talking about you accidentally ran into your desk and you're rebuking your desk now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stuff you know is the enemy, like cancer. If cancer comes against you, use your authority. Use the authority you have in Christ. Speak the authority of God's word against cancer. Partner with God, who's given you dominion in this realm, to take authority in his name. Not your name, his name. You got diabetes, you got depression issues, whatever. I'm asking you, just engage with the Lord and use the authority that the Son of Man has delegated to you. He's our figurehead. So everything he has, we have. And I just sense that sometimes we're always asking God to do stuff he gave you the authority to do. All right. Verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who've done good to the resurrection of life, those who've done evil, the resurrection of condemnation. So I mentioned that earlier. There is that future hearing where those in the graves will come out. And then verse 29, there is a judgment. There's actually three resurrections, best I can tell, two for believers and one for non-believers. So, and how about this? There's a reward. Those who've done evil is resurrection of condemnation. Those who've done good, the resurrection of life. And what's our good work in the new covenant? John 6, 27 through 29. Believe. That's our good work. Believe on him. All right? So there is three resurrections, two for living, one for those who are dead. And there is a reward. But here's the thing. We don't do it for the reward. I hope you're not out there being peace to everybody so God will like you more and give you a crown. Because I have a feeling you'll probably short-circuit the power at that point. We do need to work the works of God while it's still day. Did I tell you guys yet that the Lord showed me in my secret place prayer that every morning that the sun rises and chases away all the darkness, it's a reminder of Christ coming into this world and doing the same thing? And so while it is day, every morning I'm like, let's work the works of God. We won. The sun reminds me we won. Light has come into this world and it's under his sway. All right, and then verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I don't seek my own will. There you go. When you start doing good works for your own blessing and crown, it's a problem. Anything that leaves you at the center will wind up off center, whether it's good works or your prayer life. Don't put yourself at the center of your prayers, especially when he already knows what you have need of. Not saying you don't request, not saying that, but man, it shouldn't be 90% of it. Your evangelism shouldn't be about you. Anything that puts you at the center will wind up off center. Worship should not be about you. Well, I'm preaching better than you're responding, but as I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I don't seek my own, but I want to do the will of the Father who sent me. Of course, they hate this. The religious people hate this because he makes himself out to be one with God. So one of the things Will didn't get to, but we talked about in collaboration, Will Shepherd, he said, I've turned all my judgments over to the Father. He loves this passage. And when I turned all my judgments over to the Father, he said, my choices got way better. I thought, what great insight. His judgments are way better now because he's aligned with God and what God judges and how God judges. He told me when I was judging the cornbread to judge righteously. And I did. Because Larry won. So hear me now. This is important because the culture we live in, we are to make judgments. We do make judgments. We do. Just judge righteously. you know, through the proper eye lens. Right? I think Jesus spoke to it in Matthew 6 that, hey, if you got a log in your eye, you know, maybe you should get that out so you can help your brother. He did say help your brother, but do it through the right lens. But we make judgments. If somebody came in here and somebody we didn't know, and they came in on a Sunday morning, and they come over here with Sherry, and they're being inappropriate with Sherry. How many of you know, we have to make a judgment on that. He can't say, well, this is my truth. I don't care what your truth is, brother. We're making a judgment to protect our sister, and what you're doing is out of line. We make judgments all the time. Don't let people tell you, well, don't judge me. I'm not judging your eternal destination, but I can make a judgment whether that lifestyle is healthy for you or not. I mean, according to the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? That whole charade is simply about saying nothing is wrong. Nothing is bad. Nothing. Just let me do whatever I want to do, even to their own detriment. But love will speak the truth. Love will live the truth. And they're right when they say, well, I mean, who are you to judge? You've got flaws or whatever. Okay, yes. And I'm living under the same judgments of the Word of God that I'm sharing with you. The Lord judges us, assesses us, and coaches us all the time, disciplines us. He doesn't condemn us. But we do make judgments. Does this make sense? I mean, because we live in a culture that's always kicking against that. But anytime you have human beings saying, hey, there is no truth, nobody can say what I did was wrong, you are trying to disintegrate a society when you say that. We have to have laws and judgments. And the best way to do it is according to Scripture and the character of Jesus Christ, because He invented life. He knows how it works the best. All right, one last scripture. Matt, you guys can come. Verse 30 in the Amplified. I love this. John 5:30. Jesus said, I'm able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I'm taught by God and I get His orders. Look at you coming right down the middle. So this is how we're to live. I don't do anything independently of God. That's when He's Lord, He's decision maker. Yeah. So I only do as I'm taught by God and I get His orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide and I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right because I don't seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. This comes out of wholeness. He's living out of that self-existent life that everything He is, He's deriving it from God. Not living His own way and asking God to bless His ideas. And I'm sorry, I love you enough to tell you the truth. The truth is, we are too much Lord of our own lives. We are too much our own autonomous being. And we're really created to derive life from Him. He needs to be at the center. He needs to be who we're listening to, who we're abiding in, spending time with. Does that make sense? I just love this Amplified version because I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose. I'm only going to do the will and pleasure of my Father who sent me. In nothing, not one instance, is the Son independent of His Father. And Ephesians 1 says that from before there was time, God predestined you to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything they do together. All of Christ's authority, all that fullness and security He had, comes from His oneness with the Father. So as I mentioned to you earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says you've been reconciled to God. You've been joined together with God. But are you living in oneness? Are you living in fullness? Will you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Steve, I'm looking for this peace that you speak of. I'm looking for a life of wholeness. And maybe you would say, I don't have that life within me. I don't have that wholeness in me, but I want to receive him. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up and just say, would you pray for me? I would like help in knowing Christ and meeting his wholeness. Anyone? I want to be born again. I want to begin the journey. Anyone? If you're here this morning as the gathered church, and you say, Brother Steve, I've lived too much carnally, but I tell you, I'm willing to spend the time with the Prince of Peace so I can start living the reality of the wholeness I already have. If that's you, will you raise your hand up high? I'm going to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Praise God. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? You'd say, I want to live in wholeness and fullness, and I'm going to invest the time to be with him. And my question to you is, if your hand's not raised, is why not? Why? He's not worth it. He's not worth investing time, an hour, whatever, to be with. I mean, you can go on living with the world, you know, dancing all around whatever's happening, but he needs to be your vine. I'm raising my hand on this one. I want to invest the time to live a whole life, a full life in Christ. Father, I thank you this morning for each hand that's raised. And Lord, that in our hearts, you're worth it. Lord, I repent of when I've allowed myself to be so moved by people, sources, and influences, beings outside of me instead of looking to you. And I thank you, Lord, for the self-existent Zoe life, the divine life of God himself that lives within me. And Lord, I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to purpose to be with you because I want to become just like you. And that your word and spirit are going to work that good pleasure of God in me as a son. And so every hand that's raised, Lord, I thank you for divine grace upon them. Lord, right now, the want to, Lord, the desire to, Lord, that you're worth it. To be invested in and spending time with. And I thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. One observation. Yes, sir. Love you, too.
Sure, I've got is not one that Steve gave today, but it parallels. And I discussed this with my group 2 weeks ago and woke up this morning and slept the Lord.
Hold on. Is he on?
No one?
Try again. Okay, there you go.
Okay. Anyway, I slept with the Lord this morning and he reminded me of that scripture we had discussed, but. And I'm just going to read it to you and I'll explain. But it's that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And he brought that back to me this morning, early this morning. And so I went to it again. And I thought I understood the shadow as being kind of an umbrella. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I saw the word abide. And we abide in what? The word, right? Mm-hmm. So I sense that the shadow is the word. And then he showed me an illustration.
Yeah, sure.
It'll be a little silly, but I did this because he showed it to me. I abide
under the shadow of the Almighty.
Of the Almighty.
Amen.
And from that.
Amen.
And from that. This is David. he said the word. From abiding, he says, I will say unto the Lord, He is my fortress, my Amen. Refuge, my God in whom I will trust.
Amen.
And then he speaks to the enemy, the word. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence, perilous pestilence.
Yes.
So, right in Scripture, I understood that the way we have to fight the enemy is from abiding. We have to live under that shadow constantly.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the very first, he who dwells in a secret place shall abide under the Almighty. I thought it was awesome.
I love that. Thank you, brother. Close your eyes. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Selah. Amen, church. Selah. So be it, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, like I said, if you're new around here, we're glad to have you. If we can help you connect to the vine, Jesus Christ, in any way, shape, or form, we want to do that. We'll be around afterwards. Father, thank you for this morning. As we go forth, may we go forth in songs of praise. May we go forth rejoicing, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And may we manifest your wholeness, your peace and goodness to all those around us. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.